Father, we come to this moment. We ask for help, for grace, for understanding, fulfillment of your purpose here tonight. In Christ's name, amen. We are in the book of Acts. However, we've talked a lot about the world situation. I heard some extensive conversation last night from a self-styled prophet, still beating a drum for Russia. Going to come down through there and wipe everybody out. Tonight there's a great uprising in against the Communist Party for having swindled them all these years. About 10,000 out there shouting their vilifications, calling for the resignation of the Prime Minister and so forth. Doesn't look like they're really in a position to start moving in a world conquest. I'm not worried about Russia. I'm not really that worried about Hussein, because he rises and falls like all earthly despots and monarchs. But now, you see, we're talking in the book of Acts about the church. The fundamental issue is, what does God have in mind for the church, which we are? What is he going to do with us? What are we all about? We look out of the world today. We see all the things that are going on in the various parts of the world. But remember well that empire building and the ravaging of countries has taken place for thousands of years. This is nothing new. Hassan will go the way of all despots. However many years he may have left, I don't know how many he may have left. Maybe somebody will assassinate him. Maybe he'll live for 80, till he's 80. Well, what's he got? He spent his whole life hurting the people. Whole life, you see, has been against people. And God is not going to treat that lightly. So I think he represents, as I said this morning, an agent of Satan. And he'll get his in the Lord's time. Meanwhile, who are we and what are we all about? And that's what the book of Acts tries to help us with. After Christ came the church. As he ascended into heaven, he said to the disciples, you shall be my witnesses, and you will go to Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Uttermost parts of the earth just means really the uttermost parts of the land, which they did. And it came about naturally. So the Lord worked through Paul and others to do what he was going to do. People have an assumption that for 1,000 years at least, the Holy Spirit has been kind of asleep on the job. Nothing's going on. Now we've got to wake everything up and get going for God. It's a common idea in various groups. But all of this now is the time for us to be on the move and so forth. Which is a lot of hogwash. What you have to do tonight is whatever God has for you to do tonight. The people in the book of Acts, the church in the book of Acts, were not some high-powered, dynamic, driving force. They each did what they were supposed to do. The church per se, the people like yourselves, were not really brought up in the book of Acts. There was no great movement of the people. They were scattered by persecution, not by dedication. So if tonight the announcement comes that there's going to be a bomb dropped in the middle of Los Angeles and the people go out to the desert, you can't say it's from spiritual dedication. Just like this morning, we talked about Moses. He went out because he was forced out. He was afraid he's going to get wiped out by the king, and yet the book of Hebrews says he didn't fear the king's commandment. Well, he didn't revere it. In other words, the Greek word phobeo means to revere, phobeomai. And it's he didn't simply say to himself, I can't go because of the king. He didn't say that. Today, if you were a member of the mafia, you might say to yourself, it doesn't matter where I move, I'm going to get hit. See? He tried to run away from the mafia. Well, in that sense, Moses didn't run away from didn't fear to run away from the king, in the sense that he couldn't go against the king's commandment. He just went. But he also didn't go because he was very spiritual or very dedicated. And we're often thrown into situations that we have really no choice about. Job changes, different understanding of life and things. Many things kind of force us into moving when we would not ordinarily make a move. What it says is, if you're a member of the body of Christ, the number one point is you do what comes up. You don't try to assume you can outguess God or plan your life or anything else. There's nothing wrong with planning. In other words, if a person says, I think I'm going to go to college, you know, go. You do what comes up to you to do. And so you make your way in this world. And the church in the book of Acts did not seem to have any great special assignment. They did their job. Paul was a tent maker. He worked with Aquila and Priscilla, who were also tent makers. He spent a year and a half in Corinth making tents. I mean, that's not a great metropolis, Corinth. Ephesus, a couple of years, teaching the believers. Not a large body. But nothing is ever said, really, of the people of Ephesus or the people of Corinth, except that he had a few things to throw at them, threw rocks at them for being out of line on some things. Whatever you're doing tonight, I mean, whether you're tending babies, which is, of course, the most challenging and taxing of all possible professions, keeping up with kids, whether you're doing that or gardening or pounding nails, you could be transferred back to the early church and be not one whit different. You could relate to them. If we were suddenly into the time machine and transported back to the early church, you'd be perfectly comfortable with them and they'd be comfortable with you. Because they never thought of themselves as special. And we don't think of ourselves as special. We're not special. We never figured that we were any better than any other group in the whole body of Christ. We may feel that we have a few less pains because we're not under the same pressure they are, but we're not any better than they are. We're just people. And the energy comes from Christ, after all. You get up in the morning by the grace of Christ, and you go to bed at night by the grace of Christ. And whatever your daily distresses or complaints or whatever, the reality of your life is still as a member of the body of Christ. You are the bride of Christ, your children in the sandbox. And of course, America is the great success-oriented world. We're all success-oriented. So to really be successful means you have to add something every day. In the church, it means you have to add members, or you have to add outreach or whatever. I'm saying to the boys on Monday night, we're not really all that special. And for myself, I have a few credentials. But after all, what man is going to lead the people of God shouldn't have these credentials. As I said, it'd be like going into a doctor's office and saying, oh my goodness, you have a doctor's degree. I can't believe that, you know. And people have a right to expect that the people that are leading them have the training, the capacity to lead them. And whether you're leading a group of 1,000 or a group of 100, problems are the same. And the person that leads them should have the qualification to lead them. It's nothing really special. And this group has a uniqueness that is merely a deliverance from some of the burdens and bondages of many religious groups. So you can go tomorrow to your work. Doesn't matter whether you're raising babies or you're pounding nails or you're digging ditches, whatever. We're still simply members of the body of Christ. And you're people. And you're doing what you have to do. You see, if you were supposed to be, for example, in this situation I'm in, you would have long ago had the yen to go to college, and you would have had the opportunity. Of course, I don't buy it when ministers might say, well, I didn't have the opportunity. It's a lot of eyewash. The same thing when I see that plaintive cry on television from the Universal Crybabies. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. So a man who's going to lead people. Now, if he wants to say to people, I'm not really a leader. I'm not an authority. But I understand that. This is what the Scripture says. That's all right with me. Then people can make their choice. They can say, well, if you're not an expert, I'm not going to listen to you. They ought to have that right. And people, everybody's an expert. People are so quick to give advice about things. They're just totally ignorant. If we had enough guts to say it, which I occasionally have, if you have enough guts to say it, you'd say, well, if you weren't so ignorant, I'd listen to what you were saying. You know. But they try to tell you what to do, and they don't know anything. They want to tell you what to do. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? So you tell them to go take a jump at themselves. You know. And that's the point. If you weren't so ignorant, I would listen to you. But the point is, what about the believers in the Acts? Well, I'm saying to you, they were just simple people. They weren't great specialists, but Paul, who was their leader, was a specialist. He had the knowledge and understanding which the Lord used. Here we are in a world that is extremely complex. The problems are complex. And the world we live in is complex. And we don't know what's going to happen in Arabia, Middle East. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I have my speculations about what's going to happen in the Middle East, but I don't know. I'm guessing like everybody else. So how do you handle life then? You just take it a day at a time and trust the Lord with what you've got going. You're not going to change the world a whole lot. And you're not going to change the Lord's mind. You're not even going to change the mind of your friends. You just have to put up with their idiocy. Because they don't want to hear what you have to say anyway. They want you to hear what they have to say. Always. But they don't want to hear what you have to say. That's always the way it is. So, those are people. Now, we started into the Paul thing. He said this is where Paul was at. We talked about his conversion experience, his moment in the home of Simon the Tanner, the way in which his life developed. But let's take it from the point at which he was given this vision to come over to Macedonia. And he went according to the vision. He was real dedicated. But when he got over there, he got clapped in the irons, thrown in jail. And maybe that was sort of a forerunner of the rest of his life, because he spent a lot of time in jail. But the Lord did his thing through him. You can imagine today if a minister was thrown into jail on a false charge. If the believers had access to muscle attorneys, you know, they'd have him out right away because they would figure this fellow shouldn't stay behind bars. He's got work to do. They'd do everything they could to get him out of jail. Now comes Paul, who was probably the greatest missionary statesman in the world, through whom God gave countless revelations. And he goes into jail and he stays there for a couple of years. Now, how do you figure that? You don't figure it at all. Remember, I've said to you, I've talked to you about this diagram. I don't have a blackboard here to give it to you, but where you have the neat little graph, squares, everything organized, and that's what people around you think life ought to be. You want to fit into their little mold. And you dasn't do anything that doesn't fit with their concepts of life and so forth. What I've presented to you is the free-form kind of mold with totally uncoordinated lines in it. Coordinated lines might be those that represent a graph. Everything is organized and neat. And your life may look like a lot of, like a crazy quilt, as I said this morning. A lot of lines that are skewed and skewered. When people look at your life, they can't understand for the world why you're doing what you're doing and why life is going your way the way it is. And it's really, if you can say to them, if you have the guts, it's really none of your business. That's the way my life is. If you don't like it, take it up with Jesus, you know. Like a fellow in the parking lot of a certain function I was at. And he was so busy trying to get everybody parked, and this woman came along, and she had this tale of woe, and he just said, tell your troubles to Jesus, Lord. I'm just a cop. And you have to say that to people. Tell your troubles to Jesus. I'm just a poor human being trying to get by in the world. If you don't like the way I'm going, that's your problem. But you see that contrast between the neatly ordered graph, you know, where everything is in place, and if you're really doing the Lord's will, everything will be just neat and sweet and complete, versus the crazy quilt where every line is going in different directions. And that's the flesh. That's reality. What is your job? Well, your job is just hang in there. See that? You do what comes up. Do your best to do the job. If the Lord has a different angle for you, you just have to trust Him to bring that to pass in your life. If He's got something else for you to do, well, you just have to trust Him to make that known to you or see to it that you do it. Well, that should give you a lot of peace of mind. Nobody may understand what you're doing. And you may not understand what you're doing. But you belong to Christ. And the guarantee, as always, is that you want to belong to Christ. People need someone with them that doesn't lean on them and demand more of humans than they have the capacity to put forth. There are many ways in which a person may have a life experience that seems contrary. And many people are quick to say, well, if you really loved Christ, your life wouldn't be like this. Or you wouldn't have made that decision or whatever. And I say to you, just do what comes up. The fact that Ed, let us say, went on to college without a question, it was just the thing to do. And I just said to him, well, you do what you can and I'll do the rest. We'll enter into a contract here. You work all you can and I'll make up the difference and we'll get you through school. The other young people were not all that interested in going to school. Why? Not because they were inferior, because that was not what the Lord had in mind for them to do. If He has something in mind for you to do, He'll bring it around and you'll get the picture and you'll do it. Meanwhile, what do? You just be at peace. I was telling Betty earlier, the verse that came to me earlier, in earlier years when I was first starting into seminary. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to him that is weary. Whatever you're doing tonight, whatever's going down in your life, is probably at this point what's supposed to be going down in your life. Because I don't find among the Lord's people, at least in our groups, I don't find any spirit that says, I don't want to do what the Lord wants. I don't find that. I find people that want to do what He wants, but are not always sure what He wants. See, the heart is open to Christ, and that I expect to be true from the Spirit, but who are we to know what God wants? So if you feel that you don't know what God wants, join the club. But and he seems to see to it that I do each day what I'm supposed to do. We just put it in his hands. It's a place of great rest. If you don't feel that you have to somehow be a driving dynamic force to do things for God. The old expression, get going for God, is, you know, a lot of hogwash. Which direction are you going to go? You're going to run off in 10 directions, you know. Like the guy that had a cat. And he had a cat door cut in every door he had. And someone said, why so many doors? He said, when I say scat, I mean scat. That may be a little off base, but the point is, when the Lord has something for you to do, he'll see to it that you do it. I mean, why don't you just be at peace about it and let him bring things together for you because you want to do what he wants. That's all. If you think you're smart enough to know what God wants, just forget it. But you're open enough to have what God wants in your life. Because you're not slamming the door on him and saying, Lord, I don't want to do that. So how can you ever be smart enough to know what he wants? A story is kind of funny here, but I don't know how relevant it is, but it's always been a funny story. This farmer had a son who was kind of lazy. And he said to his son, well, you haven't accumulated anything for yourself at all, but he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You post yourself on this cattle chute, and I'm going to send calves through there, and every one you catch by the tail, you can have. So he positioned himself over the cattle chute there, and he got the plan around. It kind of, you know, time went on. He decided he was kind of playing around about it. And all of a sudden, here came a calf through the chute. He grabbed for it, but he was too late. And that happened several times. He'd play around. Pretty soon, father would run another calf through, and he'd grab for it, but he was too late. Well, finally, he was just not going to let everything go like that. He was going to get his calf. So he positioned himself on the gate there, and he was all set to grab the calf, and here come another calf through. It's all ready for it, but it didn't have a tail. See, all our determination, we're going to, by George, do what God wants. That's a lot of baloney. What do? You just say, look, here I am, Lord, I'm a human being. I didn't want to come here in the first place, but I'm here. And I don't like your world, but it's here. So if you've got something for me to do, you're just going to have to see to it that I do it. That's all. And then you'll be at peace. Be complacent. I've always said people should be complacent, and I mean that. Of course, my colleagues in the circuit would not like that. They're always saying, don't be complacent. Here I am saying, be complacent. Why? Because you might as well be, because you're not going to do anything of value otherwise anyway. You can get yourself all positioned. You're going to do the thing God wants. And you miss it anyway, see. So what do? You just relax. Say, here I am, Lord. If you want my life to go a different way, you just have to make it go a different way. Because I'm willing, but not able. That's the way I am. I've had all this training and everything, but I don't know what he wants. So I just leave my life at open to him and say, you just see to it that I do what I'm supposed to do. So it occurs to me that God has his way of dealing with Hussein. I don't think we're going to have to be too anxious about it. It's not the end of the world. Christ is not coming back now. They may. So just be at peace. Let things work out. And do what you have at hand to do. If you've got kids to raise, raise the kids. Believe me, there are a lot of churches that think a woman who just stays home and raises the children still isn't doing enough. They think you ought to join the Ladies' Aid Society and the Women's League and all these organizations that you can join and be great people. Just forget it. Do what's yours to do and assume that if the Lord had something more for you to do, he'd put it together for you. Well, we'll stop here. Father, we ask you to take these simple thoughts, which are nonetheless biblically based, and we read the scripture that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we believe that, that you're working in us, and that you will do with us what you want. So we commit all these dear ones to you for that. In Christ's name, amen.